This is the Frogcast. We are your space unicorns. We're delivering rainbows straight into your ear. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a great episode, but first, let's introduce everybody. This, of course, your ear rapist, Ben. Super blogger, Vince.
That's me.
Future NFL Hall of Famer, Brendan. Make him say, And, of course, Scroll Drawn Brett's in the house.
Hello, friends. Let's fuck.
Yeah. That's his Facebook profile. So we're going to talk to Matthew Parker, who has been on before with the book Larceny in My Blood. A lot of interesting stories. He's been to prison or jail. I never know which is which.
Both.
So we're going to talk to him about the book.
Important distinction.
Yeah,
apparently.
I don't know which one's which, though.
County versus state, I believe.
Well, counties,
which one's which?
Counties where
go.
You go. He said counties
jail.
A lot
county
shittier
is,
than prison.
Jail.
And prison is like what I watch when I watch Lock Up.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where guys tattoo their eyeballs.
But county's worse because it's like before, I don't know, everybody's squirrely there. They haven't settled into their time yet.
Anyway, his book's out this week. We're going to talk to him about that.
Yeah, it's out now. You can buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Larceny in My Blood. Go buy it. I saw Total Recall. Which was fucking terrible. So we could talk about that.
How
for a
was
minute.
That? Tell us about it.
You want to hear? I was.
Should we get right into it?
I felt okay sitting this one out. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
So I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, it looks like kind of cool, fun action movie. I didn't expect. Clearly, Total Recall is so awesome for a lot of random reasons that you can't quite recreate.
Yeah.
Of course, number one being the awesomeness of Arnold in his prime.
Yeah.
Arnold in his prime is so amazing.
Two weeks.
So for anyone weeks. That I would not recommend seeing this to anybody. I really wouldn't. It was shitty. And here's the reasons that it's shitty.
I would not recommend.
And this is a guy, remember, this is a guy that likes Transformers.
Yeah.
Keep in mind.
At least that's fun and cool and big action. So number one, you have never seen so much lens flare in your fucking life. Every scene has lens flare.
Wow. Photoshop. Oh, it's, 101.
Yeah, it's every scene. It's ridiculous. Like they're indoors, they're outdoors.
This is me, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and this is me on a screen here, riding towards the camera. It was a great scene because she's trying so hard for me not to see the news. You can see here with the eye. You know, no matter what I do, the kissing, the hugging with her, I'm more interested in what's going on Mars. Here, this is my job. I'm a construction worker, and I'm totally amazed.
And I'm looking at the gun. Yeah, so this is really this.
Exactly. How did I do that? Here's the great fight scene with Sharon and me. Ow. It hurt.
He gets kicked in the nuts so many times in this movie.
I continuously used him as a human shield. Then I threw him down the escalator.
Poor asshole. He was just playing the violin in the subway.
He's got the message that he should actually put a wet towel around his
head.
Which
is also like crazy.
Exactly, yeah. So that they cannot detect of where I am. I run around like an Indian. That's the funniest thing. She's trying to steal the suitcase. Now they have problems following it. This scene is unbelievable because my frustration about this taxi cab does not understand where I want to go. Again, I got away. Now he realizes that there's a hologram of him. And now he's telling him that he has to take the bug out of his nose, which is this gross scene. Remember, everyone was gross.
I can't stop listening. I know I've said this before, but I had that. There was that Venezuelan boyfriend of my roommate who would come over and just watch The Simpsons, and like no matter what, it could be the simplest plot point, like Bart stays after school and he'd be watching the TV and going, what? And every time I listen to this, I just imagine another one of him explaining the plot of The Simpsons to himself, like,
right?
Or so in this scene, I am running down the street. You can see, like, you expect him to give some anecdote about the backstory of the scene,
right.
In this scene, my character has, and he doesn't even say my characters. Yeah. In this scene, I have a gun, and I'm shooting the gun,
and I don't know why I have it. You can see I'm looking at it, like, what is this?
So I would,
you know, what else they skipped over is there's a great scene where they show the architecture. And it was filmed at the Air Force Academy of Mexico. And what's his name? Verhoeven?
Yeah.
He talks about the architecture style is called the New Brutalism. Which I really like. New Brutalism.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Might as well be New Metal.
Yes.
New Metal Architecture.
Yes.
I would recommend watching the first one twice or once and then the commentary before you see the second one. It's got a totally retarded story. So the story is the Earth has been scorched by bioweapons, And the only inhabitable places are like Great Britain and Australia.
Uh-huh.
And they built this massive tunnel through the earth where so every all the poor people live like – and Colin Farrell, of course, lives in Australia, which they call the colony. And they take this massive thing called – this commuter thing through the fall to Great Britain or – it's not Great Britain, but it's like the new Great Britain Empire or whatever.
Airstrip 1.
Airstrip 1. And they take it through the core of the earth. And it doesn't really make any sense. They use all the same names for everything, and they even have like little silly things from the first one. So,
like the girl with three boobs.
Well, that was for 1 second. But then they have a scene where they're going through the fall because there's no more planes.
So they did show her nipple for like a split second.
It was less than 2 seconds.
Yeah,
they showed three nipples.
That's horseshit.
Three nipples for less than a second. And so he's going through the commuter line. And there's a woman that they found that looks like the 2 weeks woman. And they say, how long is your stay?
Oh,
and,
Jesus.
And she says, 2 weeks, but it's not her.
Yeah.
It's he's a different person. But like they had little stupid things like that. They have stuff like it's like Kate Beckinsale, Colin Farrell, you find out it's like a Bourne Identity type thing.
I'll give them this. You could not find two hotter women than
oh,
Beale
my God. No,
and...
you can't. No. They're really, yeah. really attractive women.
Both. On yeah. both counts.
So there's a couple cool scenes. It could be boiled down to about 15 minutes. The car driving scenes were kind of cool. That scene out of the trailer where they like fall out of the sky is pretty cool. But yeah, Jessica Biel, Kate Beckinsale, super, super hot. But Kate Beckinsale and any of the cool people have phones physically in their hand, like embedded into their hand. But
that's awesome.
Hey, it's a call from my dick again.
Yeah. but there's no Bluetooth, so what? you have to hold your hand to your ear.
Oh,
like crotch.
On.
But then what you can do is hold it up to glass, and then it'll like show a video. And then so of course, God, I don't even remember the main bad guy, Cohagen.
Cohagen,
take me off. Whatever, visual or whatever. Anyway, I would not recommend it.
And again, guy who likes Transformers.
Yeah, like I was looking forward to a fun, silly action movie, and it was just the script was difficult and cumbersome, and it didn't offer enough.
It wasn't good.
No, it
lacked in goodness.
Even part of it is Arnold's charm that all of his movies are funny, sort of on purpose. It didn't even have lines like. There was a line.
Consider a divorce.
Yeah, I was like, I think we're kind of separated because the story is more like Bourne, where he loses his memory, but then the recall place jogs his memory, not
you're not sure whether it's
exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like you could say this about a lot of movies over the last, I don't know, 10 years.
And now he's telling him that he has to take the bug out of his nose, which is this gross scene. Remember, everyone was grossed out.
Sorry, go ahead.
But it just didn't feel like this needed to be remade.
No.
In any way.
So I was thinking if it was just called – here's the problem with Hollywood today, right? They can't just make Scorched Earth with Colin Farrell, and they have to make Total Recall – the remix.
Well, they didn't even use the original PKD name, where it's like, we can remember your dreams for you wholesale. Yeah. Is that what the one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, it wasn't that they basically remade something, fucked it up, and they remade it to make it like a fucked out story that
but
we've already
seen. So it didn't need any of the recall, right? So it just didn't. So yeah. the whole, what Cohen.
They remade it into an even more fucked out story than the original was.
So it didn't need any of the recall because they didn't play off any of that. It was just like a Bourne thing. There was a couple scenes where it was like, dude, you're in a dream. Seriously, bro. No, seriously, bro. Like the scene where in the original the guy comes in and says, you have a schizoid embolism. You need to whatever, shoot yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar but way shittier. But the whole story is Cohagen is building a clone army to go to the colony and just take it over. That's
okay.
What they're trying to stop. Yeah, it's seriously. It's not. There's no Mars. There's no mining on Mars.
There's no Mars.
It's just good guys
Fuck
and
off.
Bad guys. No, yeah, it's
Fuck
all on Earth.
No Mars.
And then, like they explode the huge commuter train.
Gross scene. Remember, everyone was grossed out. Me putting this thing up my nose. There was the bug that was inside my nose, and that's why they always could find me. Now here they are following. I put the little device that was in my nose. I put in the chocolate, gave it to the rat. And the rat is now running around. with that device. But they don't know. They think that I'm right there. They're on my track. This is a wonderful scene where I come up to Mars as an old lady, as a fat old lady. And I'm actually hiding underneath this thing, which is the amazing thing which we find out later on.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that now things are going wrong with the face.
Spoiler
zone
movie. That, this is what's going to happen in 5 minutes.
Distortion of the face and everything, and that's what busts me actually right now. Because the face does not stop and it says the wrong things all the time. What a surprise, you know, to come up there as an old lady, then all of a sudden the thing malfunctions and they catch me, and then, of course, this is not just a face or a head, it's also, an explosive device.
It's not there yet in the movie, just ruined it again.
That's the one with the three breasts.
Right.
Oh. And all of a sudden I walk into her room and she smacks me across the face, and then she kisses me. And I'm trying to figure out if he's lying or not. When I tell him, well, then you're not really here. Here's the great moment of the sweat running down, which gives it away.
Yeah, so instead, it was Jessica Biel crying. Aww. That's what alerted him that he wasn't really at recall still. It was so more shittily done. There's no Mars. There's no mutants. There's no Quado.
What? Fuck the fuck off with no Quado.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
I was saying Peter Dinklage should play Quado.
Well, so
and he should play him exactly like Tyrion Lannister.
But like he grew up.
Yeah, where he's like, bring me wine and whores.
Mm. So the hidden guy is some random freedom fighter that lives in the biocontaminated zone where they're not looking for him. That's it.
So he lives in the bowels of the earth, whereas the original Quato lived in the bowels of some other guy.
Yeah, the original, like, it had all these cool random things like that. It had
Shit, I'm gonna go home and watch Total Recall. I have the special edition with the Arnold.
Okay,
commentary.
Speaking of Arnold in his prime, for any of you listeners who are out in the Chicago area, all right. So we got the live broadcast date locked November 3rd.
Think it's unlocked. Yeah,
it's unlocked.
We're
going to do two shows that weekend.
Saturday, Monday.
We're trying to finalize what movie we want to do. And
thanks for that incredibly ham-fisted segue.
What is that?
Yeah, how is this going to...
How is that ham-fisted?
It's like half an hour later, you're going to get to the part that relates to Arnold.
I've already forgotten
what you were talking about.
No, I'm saying that we need to...
and I'm bored.
We need their help to help us pick the movie that we're going to screen for the live broadcast.
Well, we do have to figure out there's...
And we're thinking an 80s action movie of some kind would probably be pretty sweet.
Yeah, we do need to figure out. So Hollywood...
Possibly of the Arnold variety, possibly not.
Turns out I didn't know much about the screening world, but Hollywood, shocking, not really friendly with just screening a movie whenever you want.
That's cool. We can probably just pick like a really shitty movie then that no one will care that we're screening.
Well, was it?
I think it'd be even better. No, well, all I'm saying is I saw some of the suggestions and a lot of them were legit good movies. A lot of them were comedies that were legitimately funny. And I'm not really sure how much we can necessarily add to that. Whereas I think if we have the more Mystery Science Theater 3000 model where it's a really lousy movie and we have funny things to say about it.
Or just like awesomely lousy, you know, like Cobra over the top. Or
I actually,
like that.
Cobra was the first movie that came to my mind.
Yeah. Cobra is amazingly shitty, Cobra as is Over the Top. Yeah. Well, Commando.
We watched Over the Top, didn't we? And we were just like, "This is how did this get made?"
The music is mind blowing.
Yeah. What Vince suggested was more. We're not interrupting the movie as much as we present some sort of.
Yeah, we're not talking over the movie.
We'll present some sort of drinking game or something like that.
Something to interactive to where we're there's a back and forth between us and the movie, but we're not talking.
We're not
over
Mystery
the
Science
movie.
I prefer to talk over the movie, personally.
No one's going to be able to stop you.
Yeah.
You're watching Over the Top. I'm just saying every single one of Sylvester Stallone's lines was like, when I turn my head around, it's like I'm a machine. Like this truck here. It's like a switch.
How about you're performing it live on stage?
Yeah, we just take out all the audio and let Brendan karaoke the movie.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I love that idea. Do I get a bouncing ball?
You'd be like, I'll suck your dick.
Hey, suck your dick.
How would Arnold do it?
Yeah, do Schwarzenegger.
I suck your dick. Do it now.
What about Peter Dinklage as Quado?
Quaid, open your fly. I'll suck your dick. I'll right. suck your dick, right. Wade.
Mm. That's really good. Open that's, your fly.
That's not bad.
Open your fly.
That's not bad. All right. What about Richard, what's his face, as the host of the game show in Running
Doctor.
Man?
Oh.
I don't even know what that guy sounds like.
God, I haven't seen that movie in so long. What,
that's a good one, by the way.
It's a good pull.
Yeah.
Let me try.
No. Not the character. The movie.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. If you want us to do Running Man, that's a possibility.
Like I said, we just got to run it by it's at the University of Chicago.
Go ahead and offer your suggestions.
Offer them up.
Preferably only if you're planning on coming, because I don't want to hear your suggestion if you live in Great Canada, Britain.
The colony.
The colony of Austardlia. If there is such a place.
I think there's a couple. I think there's two.
Actually. We had a question about Australia.
We did. Well, sort of. It was sort of a question.
Was it? All right. Hey, Frots for Tots. I just moved to Australia, and I'm starting to pick up on the film and television industry here. I don't know what that means. It's a little vague.
No, that means if you keep reading it, he's understanding that it's not like the television that we have here in the United States of America.
That is true. They're not very television-oriented over there.
No, not very TV-savvy over there.
Essentially, it's American movies 2 months later and a mix of news and Summer Heights High reruns on TV, which is a great show. But anyway.
They love their game shows over there.
You know what came out this...
Fuck you, miss.
Fuck you. Let me draw my dick on you.
You fought it, miss. It was you.
No, I said, fuck you. You know what came out this week and has got more press than any other movie? Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Are they banking on Australians' lack of U.S. historical knowledge, like Paul Hogan bet on Americans didn't know a thing about Australians? Is Abe Lincoln our Paul Hogan? That was a question from John.
Yes.
You know what I think it is?
I was also going to say yes.
I think it's a very simple matter of Australians and New Zealanders, and I think even the British to some extent, definitely the Canadians, are a little bit nerdier than U.S. as a whole.
What?
Their tastes in things. They're more into like the sci-fi.
Well,
sort of. Their tastes tend towards more nerdy things.
Historical references.
I think that it's that movie is very much sort of aiming for more of the little nerdier crowd, and I think that's going to play better.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I think
that's
played
better.
I'm gonna go. No, dude, they all fucking love like Lord of the Rings over there, like way more so than here. Don't act like you don't remember that.
Well, isn't Great Britain basically the Shire?
No, New Zealand definitely is the Shire.
Well, that's where they filmed it all.
I know that's where it was filmed. But.
That's actually where they recreated the Shire. They actually recreated hobbits. You now are a hobbit. Am I the only one that is extremely...
Mother, do I have to be a hobbit forever?
Off you go to the orphanage.
Give up your legs now.
Off to the Shire for you.
I don't want to be a hobbit.
Ease your polio crashes.
Got to make you short, we do.
I am not excited for the Hobbit at all.
I can't reach any of the top shelves.
But my feet are big, but me small.
They made me arms small.
Have your porridge and shut up.
But Mother.
I'm not looking forward to the new one. Am I alone?
Well,
I could sit through one movie. If he crammed it into one movie, I'd be on board.
Make
three
one movie,
movies,
I'm all over it.
Yourself.
Agree. Yeah. But the trailer does not look very fun to me.
Here's the deal. He made one movie per book, and those were still pretty fucking boring, in my opinion. The second two, for sure.
Well, the third one, all I remember is waiting for them to fuck each other before they fall into the
There
lava.
Was at least like 45 minutes of just epilogue after epilogue where I was like, dude, the fucking movie has been over for at least an hour now.
Yeah, where they were waiting to throw the ring into the lava.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
and
God.
And they kept blowing each other.
How much longer do we have to wait?
Oh, I think you watched the wrong version.
Oh, this is not Lord of the Rings? Triple
this
X.
Ain't Lord of the Rings.
A porn parody.
Mm.
Yeah.
We had the
Lord of the Rims.
Lord of the Cock Rings?
Nah, too obvious. Oh, here I got a promo to play for you guys.
Horde of the Rings.
What was that?
What?
What is it still?
Well, you'll see.
A crazy family. I have three sisters. Pocket's the craziest. Anna's the pregnantest. And Jessica's my favorite, like my BFF. Boston's family is Mama.
Mama!
She's 32?
Oh my God!
Fuck is this?
This is the Honey Boo Boo Child has a new show on TLC.
Who is the Honey Boo Boo?
She is the successor to what was the chick who sang the stupid song?
It was like 6 months ago.
Eden Woods, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's Eden Woods' daughter.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So,
my name is Mike. My nickname is Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear, my baby daddy.
We got too much estrogen in the house. Need some testosterone.
Hey. Sugar Bear!
We got a lot of work to do before the pageant.
Somebody gonna help me, y'all. That's gonna look.
But it is summertime. So we've got to make some time for some fun. Our family is crazy.
This show is like one step away from allowing you to cook and eat poor fat people. Yeah. Where they're just if they had like a really nice indie food truck that pulled up and was like, "Hey, you guys want to eat some poor fat people?" Every fucking hipster.
It would also be in like a nice sort of like a mint green and be called Soylent Green.
Yeah, there'd be cilantro.
Soylent Green.
No, but there would definitely have to be like a play on words title.
Yeah, you can't. I don't even think you can get an application for a food truck. It's like a laundromat. If you don't have a fucking pun in there,
or
you
a
can
pet
walk
store.
The fuck home.
Or
it'd
a pet
be like,
store.
It'd be like Fat Farm with a PH if that wasn't already a clothing brand.
I'd get a slider.
It's a good enough reference.
You know? They've got great
or
fries.
Maybe like a soft taco.
Yeah, fuck it. I mean,
I don't
you're
necessarily.
There, you're there, why not splurge?
I don't necessarily want to eat them, but I would like to see them
eaten.
Yeah, well, I'd just like to see.
Yes,
I would just like to
there
see.
There you go.
A
he's right.
Inactive volcano
oh,
open underneath
no,
their
no,
house.
He's right. I don't want to see them eaten.
No, you don't want
to
eat them.
I mean, sorry, I don't want
to
eat them, but
would
I do want
like to be
watch
a spectator to for
them?
Some sort of fat poor person eating contest.
Nailed it. You know,
yeah.
Oh, that's just ironic enough to work. We're going to be rich.
No, no, dude. We could just have them torn apart by wolves. Like,
no,
it's
not the same.
What's wrong with that?
They're torn apart by humans.
Well, they'll eat them eventually.
No, I don't think
it has the same panache.
Look, this is about enjoying their lack of sentence structure while at the same time.
And lack of understanding
just
of the
jerking
English language.
Off about how
and
great you have
teeth.
It.
Yeah. I couldn't see that. They sounded morbidly obese.
They're awful to look at.
You get
put it that way.
Size 30 pants.
You get to pretend you're better than them while enjoying the exact same things they're
enjoying. I don't think there's any pretending going on.
No, that's the appeal. For the consumer of the show,
yeah,
they want to think they're better, but they're not. They're enjoying the same shit they are.
I was thinking what I was hearing was the future leaders of America. Is that
like the double hamburger where you... The future leaders of America has
future
like
leaders of hamburger. Future leaders of America.
It's got coleslaw on the sandwich. It's made out of all 50 states.
It is weird that the food truck phenomenon.
I would totally eat another person.
Brett, we've gone over this.
We've been through this
multiple
many
times. You would use the bones you got in the mail that you turn into a fork.
I'd make soup.
But the food truck phenomenon am I the only one that it's a crazy thing too? That there's just like a trillion food trucks now?
No, it's a good idea if you work in a fucking shitty corporate fortress because you get a new place to eat every week.
Yeah. Sure. My point was more, so we were down in San Diego for a friend's bachelor party. Vince and I were off at the Del Mar Racetrack, beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
were at least 100 food trucks, if not more, in one location. Vince, by the way, was in heaven.
It's true.
Would you have eaten at every single one if you could?
Yeah, I definitely
would have at least had a tasting.
I would have sampled a lot more than I got to sample. Put it that way.
Do you do the food truck regret thing where you get something from one and then two down because they park them all together?
Yeah,
everyone knows about this in America.
He wanted
this isn't just a San Francisco.
So he actually wanted the first thing he saw, and he did a full lap, and he got the first thing he saw.
Oh, interesting.
Well, because I mean, the fact that their line was short had a lot to do with me choosing it.
Well, that's
a clear sign of quality.
No, but it's a weird.
No one has eaten these food trucks before. They didn't know shit.
Length of line does not equal quality of food. It is a weird psychology.
If it was a
thing.
Restaurant, I'd go, because people
empty restaurants are weird.
People know this restaurant, and they know that it sucks or if it's good. These are all food trucks that are they're from other parts of the country. These people at the racetrack don't know what quality or lack thereof these trucks are putting out.
It's true. These people were wandering around the Del Mar Fairgrounds. They didn't know.
Look, it's hard to go wrong with either carnitas or a steamed bun. You cannot fuck that up. It comes great out of a food truck. If they offer that, we're standing in line.
You know what's a very popular food truck format that's you don't see other places? Is like Asian food of some kind in a taco is incredibly popular for food trucks.
Yeah. Well, it started
whether
with –
it could be like Korean or Japanese.
So the first – to my memory, at least, the first big food truck that took off was the one in L.A., which was the Korean barbecue taco.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of those.
You got the spicy. You got the sweet. They play well together.
Yeah.
Well, it's all right. But you know what? So I like it. I like it better as a banh mi than as a taco.
Banh mi is Vietnamese.
Yeah, it's not
Korean.
Don't tell Vince that. He doesn't.
No, I know it is.
Banh mi is basically, I mean, it's got cilantro and chilies in there. It's like it's a
sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, I like the Asian torta better than the Asian taco.
Well, the rest of the country will love this. In San Francisco, right down the street from my office, it's not a food truck, but it's basically a little popsicle stand, Sushi Rito. So it's a big ass sushi roll in the form of burrito. It's really good, but there is no joke, a 20-30 person line. Mm-hmm. Like one of those. Same thing with a food truck. There's a food truck parked outside of everyone's place, at least out here in San Francisco. Every food truck, regardless of how good or bad they are, has a 20 person line.
Well, it used to be back in the taco truck days. I mean, the best part about the food truck was A, you got your food like almost right away, and B, it was super cheap. And, you know, I like the variety of food trucks, but you've taken the two main benefits of it out of the equation.
Food trucks are getting really competitive now too, because I was standing on the sidewalk during my lunch break and my mom called me. So I'm like talking on the phone to my mom, and my mom's like, yeah, your dad, he's getting really weird. He set up his model train set so that it's slightly closer than the width of the wheels of the van so that he can just back the van out of the garage and play with his trains and then drive it back in, like explaining this whole thing to me. And then, like, meanwhile, this guy has his entire upper body out of the fucking window of the food truck right near me, just hollering at me, like, and just like, hey, Chief, go get some pizza, man, like yelling at me. I'm like talking to my mom.
Oh, you haven't
like,
even ordered.
Hey,
he's not come get a pizza.
No, I had not ordered. He was proactively. He's trying to proposition me to buy a slice.
What you want? You want? I got a slice for you, Chief. Hey, come over here.
I like how the whole train story. That was just a big red herring.
I know there's a van in. I thought your dad was going to sell train tires.
No, that actually happened though, because my
dad
retired.
Does he wear a conductor hat?
Get that for him for Christmas.
Nice.
Can you get him one of those like wooden whistles?
Oh, I loved those. Yeah. For the shape of the train.
Well, so what happens?
There's two things you got to get when you're retired. One is a conductor hat while you're playing with your toy trains, and the other is the bib with the lobster on it. Whenever you're eating seafood,
you don't want
to
spill on your tie. That
it's
you don't
gotta,
need to wear
it's
gotta anymore.
Say something really funny.
Yeah, like. Yeah.
So my dad's been retired for a while, and he's gone through various obsessions. And then since I stopped playing football, they've gotten weirder because at least, you know, when I was playing football, it was like a normal thing to be into. Just like really into sports and like printing out every article about my college team and stuff. But then, after that, he got really into home theater. I'm not talking about televisions. I'm not talking about televisions, gentlemen.
Projectors?
The shutters have not opened since the year 2000 in the den where we used to watch TV.
Well, that cuts down on the resolution by at least 30%.
Exactly. So it's all about the TVs, and which is funny because I grew up, we had the same TV set from as long as I can remember until after I left for college. And then he's been through like six different TVs since then. And, you know, always like trying to upgrade to like the latest model and everything. But anyway, so the latest obsession. Oh, and when I was buying my last TV, he sent me like 8,000 emails about
Brendan. That's not the right one.
About
buddy.
What the right one that's to buy, and then after I bought it, I'm like, well, thank God, I finally fucking bought a TV, so he'll leave me alone. No, he sends me every like thing he can find on the internet about best picture settings and stuff like that. So anyway, the latest thing is when my grandfather passed away earlier this year, he went back to Virginia to go get a bunch of the stuff out of the house, and he found his model train set. So he, at first when I went over there,
it's like the ultimate retired guy thing.
Exactly. So when I first went over there, he had just gotten it, and he just had it on the workbench in the garage, which is, I don't know, maybe 4 feet long. And he had like this 4 feet length of track, and it was nailed in on either side with the nail sticking up so the train wouldn't come off the rails. And it just went back and forth. Yeah. Aww. And it was more just kind of like
a sad train.
Yeah.
Well, it was more just kind of like the novelty of, hey, isn't this cool? I found this train set that
I
played
it on.
With. That I played with when I was 10 years old. So fast forward to this past weekend, and he goes, hey, you want to see my train set? And I'm like, oh, have you made some additions? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I go in there, and I'm like, okay, now I know why the van was out in the driveway, because he's got this whole
Hold on. Tell me he's got the full thing, where he's like, hold on a second, and then he goes in the middle and pops his head up in the middle.
No, it's on the ground.
I know, but I'm just picturing him, you know, like the big elaborate ones with the whole cities. Yes. And you can go put your head up right in the middle. Like,
yeah.
Brendan, look at me. And then he pops his head up somewhere else.
Yeah. Conductor Bruce. I'm definitely going to get him a hat. That's definitely my Christmas present this year.
And the wooden whistle.
And the wooden whistle.
So you got to get some sort of thing to put it on, too. On the ground is...
Yeah, so we were actually
going to get run over by the van.
I was actually helping him with this, where he's thinking about doing a pulley system with a gigantic piece of plywood so he can back the cars out of the garage.
Oh, the trains go
and
up.
Then, and then lower the plywood to like, you know, waist height.
Can I just say, pulley systems always work out. Every time.
0% failure rate.
With a pulley system. One of the few things that have never gone wrong.
Right.
In humanity.
I will say my dad is ridiculously savant-like in putting that kind of shit together. So he actually did it with our bikes when I was growing up, where he would when we would get home, we'd put our bikes on the rack, and then he'd pull them up, and they'd be suspended above the cars. They never fell onto the cars, so he's pretty good with that kind of stuff.
I will say, like, the retired dad stuff gets worse if your parents are still together. Because,
our friend Justin's is the best.
Oh yeah, with the worm farm,
silkworms, and
grapes. The vineyards. He's got the vineyards thing.
Well, he's got a worm farm to aerate the soil of his vineyard. I think that's how it goes.
He's got the wood shop.
Pretty soon he's gonna have to have ravens to eat the worms that aerate the. It's going to be like a whole ecosystem.
He had his weight room, and the weight room was abandoned for a while, remember? And then there was the dead bird in there.
I lived at their house, and they let me use the weight room. You don't understand how scary this is for me, because I hear the stuff his dad's doing, and I'm like, that's what I would do if I had infinite cash, and no one to tell me I couldn't, which means I'm going to have a kid like him.
It's terrifying.
Just accept it.
Just
accept it and
go
move
get
on.
A vasectomy now.
Accept it and move on.
Like, my dad is pretty eccentric too. Where he definitely took up welding, and
welding is awesome. I tried. It is awesome, but I always like the term taking up.
He just
took up welding.
He seems to traffic solely in non-functional welding. Like, he's like, oh, here, I made this rose out of metal, and I'm like, neat. And then he's got this other thing. And he's got this other thing where it's like it's a hand holding a wine glass that he made into a fountain that where like the hand. Like pours the wine, which I guess is sort of functional, but it's almost.
Dad, I'd really just like a barbecue. Could you just barbecue me up, please?
Dad? Do you know how much I like to cook? So a smoker would be great.
A smoker would be great.
They're hard to buy and easy to make. Could you just give me something that holds fire, please?
But I think he has he's divorced, so I think there's like a limit on your eccentricity when you still have pussy to chase. Whereas like if you take pussy chasing out of the equation, that's when you get like the
free
worm
reign.
That's when you get the worm farms and like the bench
train
press
sets.
Contests and like making humidors for people or brewing beer or whatever else he had going.
Still, so the train set's just on the ground. I'm picturing just getting run over at some point, Brendan. To interrupt your tweeting, but yes. I'm picturing the train set getting run over at some point by the van.
I think so, but my dad also has this yellow tape that goes along the garage floor that he lines the van up with every time.
Oh, so it's like an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, it is, which he has a fucking hard-on for, so he's all about it. So
the yellow tape or aircraft carriers?
Well, Brendan, the idea that he's like landing on an aircraft carrier.
Brendan, I came home tonight and I couldn't help but notice that the van was parked in Delta Sector.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, we usually put it in Alpha, in the Alpha channel, and I couldn't help but notice.
I mean, maybe a slice over on the Beta quadrant, but no, never in Delta.
He's definitely a stickler for the details, so I don't see the, you know, he's no Rick Moranis in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I don't see it, you know, going wrong with the police system or running over the train track, which is what's so funny about it is he's totally figured it out because he clearly, I mean, he obviously got down on his feet. He measured the width of the wheel. He measured the stance
of Delta Sector
of the Nissan Quest. And figured out what kind of track to buy that could, you know, fit.
Could accommodate an entire Nissan Quest.
Made sure you got the right kind of engines that you know, can deal with the clearance.
Because I would have run that train over 50 times.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, even with the yellow tape and Delta Quadrant and everything.
Yes.
Even with my best intentions, I would not be pleased with myself, but I would have run the tracks over so many times.
He's an anal retentive man.
With a successful train set.
Yes.
Yeah. There is a train store about three doors down from me, right here.
I cannot imagine that store makes a lot of money.
It's weird, and it's only open, you know, like 20 minutes a day.
I brought it up to my dad, and he's like, oh, yeah, Chan's. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, I feel like it's open like 15 minutes a day. It's the type of store that's not, the door is not open. It says ring bell. So that means there's just like a weird dude in the back.
On demand.
Oh, probably. He's probably like, he probably runs it like the dude who fixed my bike this week. Did I tell you guys about that?
No.
You know, I went out of town on last Thursday for the bachelor party. So the week prior to that, I brought in my bike to the bike shop on the prior Thursday. And he's like, oh, yeah, it'll probably be done early next week. And this dude is like very San Francisco, like super long hair. Very like flaky sort of hippie dude, but it's the closest bike shop to my house. I'm like, I just got to get it fixed, whatever. It's like, probably early next week. And I'm like, fine. I don't want to drive all the way over to North Beach to get it fixed. So Monday rolls around, I call him. Tuesday, I call him. Wednesday, I call him. Still not done. So then we go out of town on Thursday, and I get back to a voicemail from the guy where he's like,
what are you having done here? Are you adding an engine?
All right, so the chain broke, but because the chain was stretched, so it wears out the gears, they have to replace the gears and the bottom bracket.
Wouldn't it be cheaper to get a new bike?
No, not quite. Close. Okay. Pretty close.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, pretty, very dangerously close.
That's just the Jew in me.
So
that's
he's like, yeah, well, that was my first thought, too. So he's like, he has an estimate for me, and I'm like, okay, cool. And that's on a Sunday, and he's like, but I'm going out of town. So it turns out it took him a week to fix the bike, and then when I get back, he's gone out of town for like another week, and then another week goes by, and it turns out he sold the bike shop. Like, my bike was sitting at the bike shop when he sold it to someone else.
So it's actually your bike survived the change in ownership.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good though.
Yeah, it's a good thing, but that's a weird thing where I call him up and they're like, yeah, Tom doesn't work here anymore.
He doesn't own it anymore. We actually make pancakes.
Yeah. Turns out he's not so great at keeping books.
You go to the pancake shop and there's just a bike up on the side of the wall.
Your pancake has a Schwinn logo.
We're sorry about the trouble, but we did give you a free short stack.
I'm sorry, sir. Are you calling? Did you say you rode the pancakes in? We don't really know how that would be possible.
So here you go. Here's free pancakes for a week.
No, it was a bike. Does not compute.
Oh, man, my favorite Saturday Night Live sketch ever when Sylvester Stallone is hosting, and
Julius.
He works at the computer store, and they just hired him on because he used to work at the Orange Julius when it became a computer store. He's like, hey, sorry, I'm sorry, sir, that computer is for gays. And the guy's like, what? Oh, I thought they told me I needed a Pentium processor. I don't know what you're talking about, sir, but that computer is for homosexuals. He points him to the vending machine. This computer's really good. You punch in the number, you get your bag of chips.
This has been another funny thing reenacted by us.
What was that? What was my my new podcast going to be called? Where I just
we had a title for it, but
yeah, where I just bring up old
sketches. My
favorite
classic Saturday Night Live sketches. Jimmy Smits was the host back when L.A. Law was the hot TV show, and it was all the newscasters over pronouncing the Spanish names. Like, so this is Tom Johnson reporting from Nicaragua. This is back when like Nicaragua was a Latin American hotspot for geopolitical
for news.
Warfare, strife.
I believe it's geopolitical.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, like Phil Hartman was in it. And
oh, God rest his soul.
Yeah, exactly. And everything was...
What a shitty way to go
out. It's funny that that's like a hack. Like, that comedy bit is hack at this point, and yet people still do the overpronunciation of ethnic things. It's the worst on the Food Network now, I think.
Oh, it's horrible.
Aaron Sanchez. The thing about the tortillas that I didn't like is when you cut the peppers up into rajas, you know, it left it a little soggy. And
I've seen enough of Chopped.
How dare
Drew
you? You take that.
Chopped,
you take it back.
Until Drew gets on Chopped,
you take
I'm
it
not
back right
anymore.
Now.
I'm so fucking.
That's
tired
my
of
favorite
it.
Show on TV.
Really?
I'm so tired of Chopped.
That's your Chopped number one show.
Dumb. I love Chopped.
It's pretty dumb.
I never said it's like fucking great. I'm not. It's not like an intelligent show. It's a show I like to watch.
So Vince, someone give me a really good explanation as to the difference between flavor and flavor profile.
Oh,
someone give me a really fucking good explanation. I demand a fucking.
I think a flavor profile is a collection of flavors, and that's pretty much it.
Ugh, die.
So Vince, rank your shows right now. I know they're either MMA or food or.
Well,
Judge.
I mean, I still like my HBO shows, like Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones probably
all right, that
at
are,
the top.
That are airing new.
That's probably the only show where I like went back and rewatched the first season before the second season just to prepare. I've definitely never done that for other shows.
I kind of want to do that for Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I like Breaking Bad. I don't like Breaking Bad as much as I like Game of Thrones.
The last episode of Breaking Bad was fucking amazing.
I'm a couple behind on Breaking Bad.
Wait. I thought you were anti-Breaking Bad.
No, that's me.
Oh, it's you. I'm with Ben, right?
I like Breaking Bad, but when people say that they like Breaking Bad better than The Wire, I want to cut their throat.
You just don't
like
the two Mexican brothers.
No, I didn't like them. I think there's criticisms to be made of Breaking Bad, and it bugs me that everybody just sort of like it's the hipster fascism thing where, dude, Breaking Bad is like the best show ever.
Yeah,
how dare you say anything about it?
I got
it's like, there's criticisms to be made.
I got an hour and a half of that at the bachelor party. Is it worth getting back into? Because I got bored right after the Mexican Brothers. I was like,
it got a lot
better
after that.
Really?
To be fair, yeah, it did.
My favorite is just
did because I'd say it's season five right now. Season one and two is like, this is a good show. It's good.
I never
season
fully
three
bought
and four.
Or
like is when it starts to get like.
I quit.
Really...
I quit at 4.5.
Really?
Yeah. It didn't get.
I feel
a
like
shit
that's when it's
four.
Awesome. What?
Yeah.
I never bought into Pinkman.
It's not bad.
No. I honestly
the whole time I was trying to figure out whether or not I was enjoying watching it,
guess,
and then I stopped, and it turns out I didn't care.
I guess to me, I feel like if you're gonna you watched it from the beginning.
Yeah, I saw every episode, but what?
I think it picked up right after the Mexican Brothers.
I feel like the first, if you're going to lose viewers, you're going to lose them in the first two seasons. And seasons three and four, especially like once you get halfway through the fourth season,
he had
so good.
So spoilers, just skip over this part. He just killed the competing chemist.
Yeah.
He had Jesse. And
well, that's,
I watched,
that's the end of the third beginning
yeah,
of the fourth.
And then I watched like five seasons after that. I didn't care at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's when it just got really fucking
they
awesome.
They bought the car wash.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't care.
Thought it picked up after
Brett.
That.
Yeah, I tried a couple episodes and
it was nice shot. They get a little pretentious with some of their...
Well, what's
like,
a better show right now, though? I mean, other than Game of Thrones, I don't know
what's
a better
TV.
Show.
Workaholics just ended. Yeah. Their last episode was so good.
I didn't see the last
one.
Oh,
my God. You have... If you even mildly enjoy that show, you have... So they...
Don't you explain anything.
No.
I'm saving all of... I have seasons 2 and 3.
That's fine. So they it's how they all meet, and it's at their freshman year of college.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's really funny.
Still like that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Adventure Time's always good.
Well, it's not a lot. Hard Knocks just started.
Oh, yeah, I did. I watched that today. You know, everybody hates Chad Johnson.
I don't know why. He's so funny.
I cannot dislike the guy. He's really funny. He is.
And he's actually pretty good at football. Like he had a shitty year in New England, and he even admitted it. I can understand disliking him because he's so ridiculously confident. or whatever you want to call it.
I think he's just, I don't know, I think he's just a goofball.
He's just a clown. He loves clowning around.
I think he's funny. I am glad to have him back in my life on Hard Knocks, because I loved him on the Cincinnati seasons.
I hated when the coach was like giving him shit for like, he did a press conference, which is like, it's impossible. How many press conferences for football players in training camp are actually funny?
Well, especially,
and
so
he
for
pulled
him,
that off
for him. So he gets asked a million stupid questions.
He just cussed
I'm sure.
a couple times. Who cares?
Yeah. And so what happened was, watch Hard Knocks. It's awesome. But yeah, he said whatever. Like, I had a shitty year, and then they said, "Are you in good shape or something?" He's like, "Have you seen me? I'm fast as fuck."
Yeah.
And then the coach the next day, who seems like super stick in the mud.
He seems like a coach.
Wait. Hold on. Stop the fucking broadcast.
Brendan.
An NFL coach who's a fucking stick in the mud? Surely you jest, sir.
Yeah.
Surely you jest.
You wouldn't know anything about it.
Surely you jest. Of stick in the mud head football coach.
And the best, so here's the stuff that I love is, I think
he's not Rex Ryan. Let's put it that way.
Chad Johnson, I think, is hilarious and, you know, just a dude. And the coach is like, "Look, I've got a great sense of humor, too."
Yeah. I love jokes about puppies and all kinds of trucks.
I mean, are you
like, if you want to give me a joke about the comparison between two kinds of trucks, I'm on board, my friend.
I mean, if you give me a couple Marmadukes, if you give me a couple Family Circuses.
What's that dog do? It's a crazy dog. It is a crazy dog.
I got a great sense of humor. Do you know how long that I've been reading the funny pages? On every Sunday.
I mean, I just watched an episode of Jeff Dunham and the Cable Guy last night.
I tell you, sometimes Hagar the Horrible, I don't know what that Viking's doing.
He's terrible at being a Viking. That's why it's funny.
That's why I call him Hagar the Horrible.
Oh,
he's horrible at it.
Terrible at it.
He's horrible
and
at it.
That dang old Dagwood, man, he's always making sandwiches and people...
But this is the biggest sandwich I've ever seen.
You couldn't get your mouth around that kind of sandwich.
I'll tell you what, though. He eats it every time. He eats every goddamn time. I'll tell you what.
He don't listen to nobody.
But goddamn, Hard Knocks is a well-made sports show.
Indeed.
It really is.
I tried to watch the franchise, even when it's about the Giants, which are, you know,
is my
our
team.
Hometown team.
I tried it.
I tried to watch it, and I was like, this is the most god-awful boring. I think it's that baseball players just suck in
general.
Baseball players are the fucking most boring, stupid,
douchey
athletes that have ever existed.
Hold the phone.
They're terrible.
Hold the phone.
Have you ever met a cool baseball player other than Halpern? No,
hold
you
on.
Haven't.
Swimmers are the worst.
Even Halpern admits it. There are no cool baseball players.
Swimmers, a baseball player.
No, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
name
high school
one.
And college. Nah, less in college, I guess.
You're nuts.
Anyway, swimmers are the worst. Fact. Michael Phelps. Yeah. And
why do you hate him so much? Was he mean to you?
Because he has Bill Walton's teeth.
But he's a weird looking dude. You can't hold that against
and
him.
And his interviews are the most boring.
He's like
thing
distracted
ever.
When he's like, they keep interviewing him and he's like looking off in the distance.
So this is
distance.
What his 1 millionth interview, and they all sound identical.
Hey, Andrea Kramer, find somebody else to interview, would you? Like, well, interview someone
fault.
In the stands.
It's not her fault.
It's a little bit her fault
that she interviews Michael Phelps.
She's a journalist, Ben.
Well,
I remember a time when journalism meant something, and you didn't do the same interview over and over again.
Vince, are you still watching your favorite show, Newsroom?
You think?
That's saving that up for weeks.
That was bottled up.
I know he wanted to do it so bad.
No, I always put it on when I'm about to take a nap, so I see about like the first 10, 15 minutes.
Let the hate gently carry you.
So,
in the
So how are those dreams? Are they like the worst?
No, they're the smarmiest.
Just condescending.
just condescending, preachy dreams.
How many
dreams.
Blackberries do you break in your dreams?
Hey, do you guys notice that you drool a lot more when you nap in the middle of the day?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Your body's not prepared for how awesome you're going to dream.
I also have by far the weirdest dreams while napping.
Well, because you wake up and then go do stuff and remember it more than wake up and go instantly back to sleep.
Yeah, you're breaking your REM on a more regular basis. I get massive boners.
Oh.
No, that's not sleeping. That's all the time.
No. If I nap, if I pass out, if I drift off, which is the worst.
Sir, you're asleep on the bus. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I can't get off the bus for like half an hour.
I missed my stop a half hour ago.
I can't stand up.
You're in San Bruno now.
San Boner.
All right. Well, let's get Matthew. I forget his
Parker.
Name. Matthew Parker.
Jeez.
On.
Jeez.
Cheese and rice.
Oh, also, shout out to Mike's Hard Lemonade for sending us some.
Wait, were those for us?
I speaking
they,
of boners,
they sent them to
Mike's
you
Hard Lemonade.
You're a master film blogger and not to us, and then you drank them all.
It's a little bit of both.
No, Mike's Hard Lemonade.
They did send them to film.
Hard like Brett's dick after falling asleep on the bus, probably because he got tired from watching a black chick and an Asian chick fight and kind of got on YouTube. But it gave him a big old boner when he fell asleep and woke up in Brisbane. And he was like, this is unincorporated San Francisco County. I don't know how to get back.
I can't pay my taxes here.
I'm knocking stuff off the shelves. It was that kind of hard.
Mike's hard. Harder than your boner when you're knocking stuff off the shelves.
God, you're natural.
You're really good.
Shit.
You're really good at that.
Yeah, you should have been.
Oh, my God.
You should have been an advertiser.
Someone should get you behind a phone and get you into sales.
I'm an idea man.
So give us a palsy.
Yeah.
I'll suck your dick from Alfred.
I'll suck your dick. I don't think that was very good.
No, you got to go deeper.
It's more about the head shake than anything. All right. Well, let's get him on. Let's talk about Laura.
I have watched you grow up in this house since you were a young baby. I heard your screams echo off these walls. What I want to tell you is, I'll suck your dick.
Nice. There it is. Uh-huh. There it is. Uh-huh. You nailed it, bro. Uh-huh. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, nice work. And well, let's get him on. We'll talk about larceny in his blood, but it's called larceny in my blood.
Yeah.
And let's get him on, Vince.
Boom. All right. We got Matt Parker with us.
Back on.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
So the book came out this week?
Tuesday, yeah.
Tuesday.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Available in all formats?
In all formats, yes.
All right.
So you did, what was it, the Man Cow show?
Oh, yeah. What a jerk that guy is.
Well, could you tell us about the prison? What was it like?
It was like Glenn Beck on amphetamines.
Oh, my God. Man, I didn't know Glenn Beck could get worse, but I guess if you put him on some amphetamines.
Yeah, you give him some crystal meth, and he could get really annoying.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever listened to his show. I heard his name, and I just assumed the type of person he was.
It's like the ultimate morning show name.
Yeah.
Man Cow in the morning. Well, the worst part about it was he kept me on hold for 45 minutes and made me listen to his ranting.
Oh, man, that's torturous.
Yeah, and he's ranting at everybody. He's ranting that Obama's a racist, and he's ranting that everybody gets free speech in this country, but the churches are all their speech is oppressed.
Really? I didn't know Man Cow was like a wingnut. Yeah.
White people have it so fucking hard in this country. If you are a white male in this country, boy.
Who's fighting? Who's standing up
for
the white man?
Who's the white male? Oh man, it's really hard to be a white male.
I know, and you can't hurl a Bible without hitting a church in any neighborhood in America. I mean, they got it so bad.
It's rough. I mean, where do you go pray these days? Where can a man pray to Jesus?
Where can a white guy go to pray? They're such pussies too. You know, it's incredible. I mean, they gotta have a semi-automatic weapon with a 30-round clip to cross the street in fucking Kansas.
Well, yeah, because what if someone else has a gun? I mean, you're going to have to mow
like
them down.
The Scarecrow. Maybe they see children on the corn one too many times.
So how long were, so after you listened to him rant for 40 minutes, how long was the actual interview?
About 2 minutes.
Ah, that's always fun. How does that work? Like, I mean, does he just like...
That's a shitty ratio.
Does he just like ask you the title?
Yeah, he asked me what larceny in my blood meant. Then he asked me about prison. And when I told him I was in prison for nonviolent crimes, he was a bit perturbed. So then he asked me about redemption. Although he didn't quite put it that way, but you could tell he was looking for a Jesus story.
Really? I always thought he was like a Howard Stern competitor, not like a...
Maybe. I mean, it's hard to say.
It sounds like he's changed because he was actually in the Bay
Shifted
Area.
Formats.
Yeah, he did. He was in the Bay Area a lot, like when I was younger. And he had some big stunt where he like shut down the Bay Bridge to cut someone's hair or something really stupid.
Oh yeah, I remember that because what happened was Bill Clinton went to SFO to get his hair cut, And none of the planes landed out of respect. And so these planes ended up circling around San Francisco airport for 45 minutes while Bill Clinton got his hair cut. And, you know, people got their panties in a bunch. So I had forgotten about – I didn't realize that was Man Cow. I remember someone that, doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's Man Cow. So he was okay. on the Bay, some random Bay Area morning station.
Probably KRQR, The Rocker.
Probably, yeah. Something like yeah. that.
So you did NPR also, didn't you?
I did NPR today, yeah.
Was it Terry Gross?
No, this was a local NPR.
Oh.
It was shit, what was his name? John Hockenberry.
How was that?
It was good. It was a thing called The Takeaway. And it's on every morning here in New York. And I guess nationwide on the web. And he was more interested in the New York Times article. Although yeah. he did plug the book a bit.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. So the New York Times article, it's about all right. So the book "Larceny in My Blood." I should do the whole radio thing.
Out yeah, yes. For week. Those that you do, because yeah. it's been a little while.
This for those who know about the book, tell us what it's all about.
Ooh ah ooh ah
ah ooh.
Some whistles in the background.
Yeah. Yeah. So you wrote an op-ed for the Times, and it was about, you know, you were 19 and your brother, what did he got murdered in a fight?
He was murdered, yeah.
And so how did that happen?
It was this crazy dude from Oklahoma, and he was in California, and he raped some girl and beat her up really bad. And he got some time in California. But back in those days, you really didn't do much time, and they paroled him. So he was only out like 2 days, and he ran into my brother when he was driving back to Oklahoma in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And with some crazy prison idea that my brother was a snitch, him and another guy, they just killed him. And he ended up getting caught because he was a moron.
So he thought your brother ratted him out on something?
No, he was just... Nobody really knows what happened. I mean, but that's basically the story they got from the kid who turned states. This guy's a snitch and we got to kill him. I mean, it's a stupid prison thing, really.
Yeah.
Which I don't even want to get into. And so they caught him right away. And prior to that, I was against the death penalty. But then when my brother got murdered, especially the way it happened, I mean, they stabbed him a bunch of times. They cut his throat. I was for the death penalty like the next day, mm-hmm. especially after they caught him. And, you know, my mom went through the trial and he was a real prick. The other kid at least was remorseful, but this guy was just a jerk, she said.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was definitely for the death penalty until about 10 years later when they were going to send me to the same prison that he was at. Then I kind of changed my mind because then it occurred to me, well, here's your death penalty.
Yeah.
You can just do it yourself.
It's kind of like the thing where it's like, oh, if I could go back in time and kill Hitler, I totally would do it.
Right, yeah. Right. But the actual mechanics of murder made you think about it, even though it was remote that I would end up in the same prison as him, because Arizona's a pretty big state.
Yeah.
You know, there was still that possibility, so it made me rethink the whole thing.
Well, yeah, because it became a reality.
Right.
It became that if you wanted retribution and kill him, you didn't want to get killed yourself by the state.
Right. Well, I wasn't too worried about that. What I figured out is it just wasn't in me. There's just no way I could take a shank to another human being and stab him in his sleep or whatever the fuck. You know, once I realized that, you know, I changed my mind back. Plus, there's, you know, the words justice and closure, they're bullshit. They don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you never forget. You never get over it. There's never any closure.
Well,
so even if I did kill him myself, I mean, what was it going to do? It wasn't going to bring my brother back. It was going to get me a shitload more time.
How old was your brother at the time?
22.
And had he been in prison before that?
Yeah, in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. For what?
Oh, car theft, minor, you know, a bunch of same larceny stuff I was involved in. We all had larceny in our blood.
It seems like there's always... Did you see that Werner Herzog documentary recently at all?
No.
Where it was about like the death
penalty.
Kids
in Texas?
Yeah.
That was really good.
And it was like everyone's backstory, like everyone had family that was that were criminals, like without like every single person. And it's like this, I don't know, there's like a weird law of attraction thing where like you know, if you have one family member who's in prison, chances are you're going to have like three.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was two kids that got charged with murder, and they're interviewing one of the kids' dads, who, of course, is also in prison. So,
for murder.
For murder.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All in the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The six. The gun don't fall far from the tree, or the knife.
So
the weapon.
So that guy that killed your brother he's out now, isn't he?
Right, because this happened in 1980.
That's insane.
And the funny part, I didn't know he was out till the New York Times fact checker called me.
Oh wow!
And he told me he was out.
And how long ago was that?
Just a few days ago.
Holy
about
shit.
A week ago.
Wow, that must have been a hell of a phone call.
Yeah. I mean, the fact checker, I dealt with him while I was in – I was just in Columbia a couple of weeks ago, so I had to deal with him when I was down there. My mom had to deal with him. I mean, they really crawl up your ass.
It's crazy, you know? Like, that – like, now you think, all right, well, you kill somebody, you pretty much go away forever. But
you might not get the death penalty, but you're going to be in jail for 200 years or something.
Yeah, but then I was watching, like, some random documentary on either the History Channel or HBO or something. It was about Malcolm X. And, like, you know, there was, like, a big conspiracy of all these guys to kill him. And, you know, I looked it up, and there's no one still in jail for it. They're, like, all out.
Yeah, people get out.
It's crazy.
He did 25 years, almost to the day. And he did get life. He was eligible for the death penalty. They just didn't give it to him. So he got life in prison, but in Arizona, life back then was you do 25, and then you're eligible for parole.
Yeah.
But I knew people who knew him now because the Arizona prison system is pretty small.
Yeah.
And they called him Heart Attack Fred because he was always faking like he was dying. And he was also extorted quite a bit because he was a sex offender.
Ah.
That is not something you want to be in jail.
No. But if you got money, I mean, you know, all this bullshit. Gangs are mostly bullshit. You know, they'll rat on you in a heartbeat. If you join a gang and it's in their best interest to rat on you, they'll rat on you. So
is it just everyone's sort of looking out for their own best interest?
Yeah, or they're looking out for the money interest. It's just like business. It's just like a corporation. They pretend that they're racist, and they'll tell everybody, yes, the Jews are taking over the world and the black men are helping them and there's going to be a race war. But on the upper levels, they're dealing with the black guys.
So is it
like ManCow?
Is it money transacted is it money transacted on the outside? Like your people have to pay my people, or is it physically, is it transacted on the inside?
It depends. I mean, you know, I never really was involved in any extortion or anything, so, but you know it goes on. Yeah, they'll do is they'll say, bring me $25 worth of store a week.
So that's what is happening to, say, Heart Attack Fred? He's just got some guy who's saying, hey, you know.
He had some guy extort him up till 97. In 97, they moved all the sex offenders into one yard in Arizona, into one prison.
So did you ever end up meeting the guy, or did you just know?
No, okay. Because I had that DNH in my jacket. DNH is do not house.
So they keep track of all of that.
Yeah, they're pretty good about that shit.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys have lots of DNHs. I just had the one. One was enough.
A lot of guys have, like, a lot of family members that have been killed by people that...
No. They have enemies.
Yeah.
Different gangs. Right. Or that somebody they snitched on, or somebody had snitched on them, or somebody they beat up in another prison really bad, or somebody who owes them money. I mean, there's a million reasons you can get a DNH.
Yeah, it seems like it gets complicated after a while.
It does, because, you know, you could PC up in prison for owing $5, and you just go to the guards and say, oh, I owe money for drugs, and I'll move you off the yard. But they're just going to move you to another yard.
Right, and if you offended an entire gang for some reason, wouldn't you technically be a DNH with that entire gang?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it probably gets pretty complicated then.
Yeah, but usually they'll just move you to another yard, and sooner or later it's going to catch up with you.
Right.
They can only move you so many times, I would think.
They can only move you so many times. And, you know, if your life's really in danger, they'll put you in PC, but nobody really wants to go into PC because it's full of sex offenders. So
we got a couple questions. I put out the call to for the people that heard you on last time.
You put out the fraud signal.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cool.
And all right, so this one was from Dan. Please ask about prison sex, avoiding it, etc., inquiring minds. And that's the whole question.
Prison sex goes on quite a bit. I mean, there's this really the Republican faction, the white boys, who is all I really know about. You don't know what's going on in the other races, for obvious reasons. They are against homosexuality. They're basically hardcore right-wing Republicans, except when they need a blowjob.
funny how that
then
works.
They all, yeah.
So it's pretty much the exact same thing as on the outside.
Yeah. Republicans are they're pussies. They'll never come out and admit that they're actually gay. So they just say, well, so long as I'm pitching and not catching, I'm not gay. And it's so antiquated. It's so comical. But you can't laugh at them because, of course, they'll kill you. So you just got to pretend like everything's normal. But there's really not a lot of rape going on. Maybe in maximum security. And I've been in maximum security only in county jails. So when you get in state prisons, I've only been up to medium. So maybe in max there's rapes going on. But all them stories here, you can't bend over in a shower. It's all bullshit. The thing about prison, as long as you're not afraid to fight, nobody's going to bother you. It's all about heart.
Mm.
You know, and I'm a little guy. Vince knows. I'm not a real big guy. But so long as you're, so long as you show that you're not afraid to fight, most times you won't have to.
Yeah.
And so, just for those of you that don't remember, Vince and they both went to writing school together at Columbia. That's how
we did.
Every single like blurb that I've seen written up is like, Columbia's prestigious MFA program, and I'm like, eh, all right, I'll take it.
That ascot wasn't that nice.
Yeah, well, Vince got an acknowledgement in the book, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Boom, you made it, buddy.
I need to see. I haven't seen it yet.
You made it into the book. Well, did you want to talk a little bit about the book?
Yeah, the book, I mean, the book, I like to point out the microcosm between prison and society. It's all very... It's very, they're very much alike, except it's on a smaller scale. So in prison, all your white boys are basically your hardcore Republicans, like I've said this before, except they're easy to spot because they all got like swastikas tattooed all over them. Whereas in society, all your hardcore Republicans hide behind all this polite discourse. But it's basically the same thing, just on a bigger scale. And what I found out in prison is it's easy to hate in a collective. So if you're in a group, it's easy to make fun of people if everybody in that group is, you know what I mean? It was kind of like that. Remember, Vince, our first year at Columbia? Remember how the second years were kind of shitty to us?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Well, because,
And there was, I point this out in the book, and the factions between poetry and fiction and nonfiction. It's kind of the same, but on a grander scale.
I'm glad. See, you having been in prison, you can make those distinctions without sounding like an asshole. Whereas, like, if I do it, people are like, "Oh yeah,
yeah." I went to Columbia writing school. It was like prison, basically, with the gangs. You had the poets versus the journalists versus the creative writers
versus the nonfiction.
Hey, I do that exact same thing, just as you're saying in the book. You know, I got your poets, I got your fiction writers, your non-fiction writers.
I did some hard time up there, you guys. You don't know. I don't like to talk about it a lot, but.
Yeah. Plus me and Vince, there's only three guys. The rest were all girls.
Yeah.
In our whole class.
Mm-hmm. Very, strong feminist women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
So what's the other question?
The same guy wanted to know the adjustment to life in prison. What things that are forbidden in civilian life are present in prison? How do you evolve to live in prison, and how do you rationalize it?
What things that are forbidden in civilian? Nothing. I mean, everything you can get out here, you can get in there, except getting laid. You know, there's no women. So everything else you can pretty much get. You can get all the drugs. Well, you can't get all the drugs you want, but you could – pretty much on weekends, get drugs. You know, they're very expensive, but you can get them. I certainly use a lot of dope in prison. What else? Repeat, what was the last part of it?
How do you evolve to live in prison?
You got to kind of pretend. You know, oh, yeah, I hate black people too. Yeah, sure. Okay. Oh, yeah, the Jews are taking over the world. Yeah, whatever. Whatever, dude. And just go about your business and just ignore her, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. You can't go in there and say, you know, we should all love one another because they'll kill you.
Yeah.
So can you sort of explain the distinction between, I think you'd said, you know, the gangs are bullshit and you don't need to be in one, but it sounds like generally speaking, you obviously have to hang out with people who are of a similar race to you. Can you kind of distinguish between actually being in a gang and having to go take out someone else versus just sort of running with the white folks, or is there a difference, or how does that work?
Well, basically, when you're white, you're a member of the Aryan race by virtue of your lily white skin. Mm-hmm. And so you're automatically in, although joining a gang is a whole different thing, which, you know, I never had no interest in.
Right.
So can you explain a little bit more? Arizona State Prison, so there wasn't a lot of black people.
Okay.
So it's different. There's a lot of Mexicans, but, you know. So you don't really have to join a gang. I certainly never did. But if there was ever something ever came down, there was a race war between the blacks and the whites, you would be expected to fight. Otherwise, your own race would turn on you.
So where would someone like me, who's a white Jew, do I just get killed on day one? How does that work?
No, there's not a lot of Jews in prison, but there's a few.
I realize that as well. That's
you know, they're basically left alone. They're probably not well liked. Although when I was in federal prison, it wasn't
the
so
same
bad.
On the outside as it is on the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's his analogy.
Yeah. I mean, I told you, it's a microcosm. Mm-hmm.
It's a microcosm. There's a very small percentage. The ones that are in there are not liked.
are not well liked. Muslims either. I mean, when 9/11 happened, there was this Muslim kid from Jordan. And he never bothered nobody. You know, he walked around his prayer rug. He did his Muslim thing every day. Nobody bothered. But after 9/11 happened, he had a real problem. Because Mexicans are pretty magnanimous. You're either black, white, or everything else. Mm-hmm. So the Mexicans let in everybody else. Well, after 9/11 happened, the Mexicans ran him off. Now, this guy had no place to sleep. He had no chow hall to go to because you have to eat with your race. You have to sleep with your race. You have to bunk with them. And he basically had a serious problem, and they ended up having to roll him up off the yard.
What does that mean?
Well, they put him in PC or moved him to another yard.
And what's PC?
Protective custody.
So does that mean you're basically just in a cell most of the day?
Yeah, or if you go to a PCR, then you're in with all the snitches and the child molesters and the rapists and all the real scum of the prison system.
All the nice fellas.
Yeah, and nobody really wants to be in there unless you're a snitch or a child molester or a rapist.
Let me ask you this, though. If I'm given the choice between being in the yard with a bunch of dudes who are in prison for hardcore criminal shit, killing people, whatnot, I think I'd rather be with the child molesters because I don't think they're going to fuck with me. But then is it a guilt by association thing?
Yeah, it's guilt by association. So if there's ever a riot on the yard, you're the first to go.
Oh, okay.
And they pee in your food.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Oh, yeah. They do horrible things to them. Yeah, I mean, you just don't even want to be associated with them. It's not that hard to survive. Like I said, so long as you got heart, nobody's going to bother you. And if you're not in the mix, most people get in trouble in prison because they owe money for drugs or they owe gambling debt. Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, gangs keep the peace because they want the extortion rackets to keep going. They want the gambling tables to keep going and they want the drugs to keep flowing because that's how they're making their money. So it's basically like a corporation. You know, they'll do the whole divide and conquer thing.
Yeah.
Because they want to control people. That's how they control you. But when it comes to, hey, man, the food really sucks. We want a food strike. No, no, you can't do that. Dope sack's hit. You know, so anything that fucks with business, they don't want it going down. So you can't really go out and stab somebody. I mean, you can, but they don't like it because it locks the yard down. They don't like riots. They don't like food strikes. They don't like anything that shuts down business. So they pretend to be racist, but really, it's all bullshit. It's all about money.
It's just all a game to keep everything else going.
Right. It's all a game. And you could join a gang and they'll pretend like you're their bro and all this other crap. But as soon as something goes down and it's to their advantage to get rid of you, they'll rat you out in a heartbeat.
And then,
you know, they'll turn on you so fast, it's pathetic.
And then the prison workers, the guards and stuff, they just, as long as it's sort of peaceful, they – obviously they don't let everything go. They, if they see it in front of their face, I'm sure they'll stop something. But it's just sort of, as long as it's, I would think they'd want to stop the violence more than anything else. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so long as there's no violence, because it's bad press. They don't care about drugs. I mean, obviously, if they catch you shooting up in the yard, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah, you can't just walk in the front door with someone just handing
smoking
you
a joint. You know, it's going to piss them off. But for the most part, they allow a certain amount of drugs to hit the yard, although they'll never admit it. You know, now it's tobacco. A lot of prisons have banned tobacco.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah. I mean, it never happened in the prison I was in.
Well, it's just a weird one. It's like it's legal.
That's what you do in prison is
smoke. Yeah, you just smoke, chew tobacco, whatever. I mean, if that's keeping people a little more sane, was it because of gambling with it? I think you'd still be able to gamble with anything, right?
No, it was because other inmates who didn't smoke sued.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's what happened.
Nice.
Oh, what a world we've lived. Yeah. It's become.
All right. So the other question someone had, they were reading your New York Times article, and they're talking about how they have basically come to the same conclusion as you about the death penalty, whereas like you can believe in it, but when you're actually confronted with like the reality and like having to do it yourself, that it would, he says, it would stop me. The idea stopped you. Do you think others could come to the same conclusion without it being exposed to real violence?
I don't know. I can't speak for other people. I mean, everybody who loses a family member to violent crime, of course, goes through a different grieving process. For me, it was obvious, you know, once I got that close to him that I couldn't do it. Plus, time kind of heals. So I can't really speak for other people. I think it would probably work, you know, but how do you put another person in that situation? You really can't.
Well, and I would think it's something, clearly I'm not putting myself in the situation, but if you're already in jail, it's much more difficult to get away with anything. So you're basically putting yourself in jail for probably the rest of your life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So more than likely. Yeah.
I think that would.
Yeah. It's hard to take consequences out of the equation.
Or the guy could have killed me too.
Oh yeah, I understand that. I just mean if you're on the outside, not that it just might change your perspective a little. Where there's at least a potential that you get away with something. Where in prison, the chances are basically zero, and you're just making yourself
forced to deal with the consequences. Yeah, regardless,
you're not escaping prison.
Yeah, there's no sort of skipping.
No, you're actually just changing places with them.
Yeah. That makes
basically
sense.
Basically just changing places with them. You know, I only got 2 years that time. So I would have ended up getting a whole shitload of time if I killed them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe forever or 25 or whatever.
25, you know, who knows?
That's a long time.
Do you feel like 25 was just? I mean, obviously you probably want to see him away forever, correct?
Well, I mean, the way I expressed it in the article is it wasn't easy on him. 25 years in prison is not easy for anything. And so there's really no justice, like I said earlier, and there's no closure. You never forget. You know, not then, not now, not ever. But the fact that he did 25 years, I mean, it just doesn't bother me anymore. I just don't think about it. I still hate the guy, you know, but he's out. He's out. I mean, there's not much I can do about it. There's no real forgiveness. That's what I think the article tried to portray, that, you know, I came to this big religious forgiveness thing, but there's no real forgiveness. There's indifference is basically what it is. I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
People keep trying to put Jesus in your mouth.
Yeah, man. They want me to find religion. It's like, get off it. They put me through that with 12-step programs.
So when you got – all right. So, like, I mean, when you got out, what was the process of – I mean, how did you get – what was the in-between between going to prison and then getting into going back to school?
You mean what turned me around?
I mean, just how did you make the transition? Just like logistically, I mean, you get out, and then do you have to get a job right away? And is it hard to get a job, like when you're fresh out of prison? And then
does someone pick you up? Do you have to get a cab? Like the
Jesus did it. No, I mean, I was lucky because I always had my mom. So when I got out of prison, I was able to go to my mom's house. And once I decided I wasn't going to use drugs anymore, I mean, that was the only thing that ever stopped me from doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, once I decided I'm not chasing a spoon, I'm not shooting heroin no more, then everything else came real fucking easy. And I made it off parole. Mm-hmm. I hardly ever made it off parole. I think only one other time. I usually violate in just a few weeks. So, yeah, it wasn't that difficult. Once I made up my mind that, hey, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do dope anymore. It was basically, it took me a long time to get a driver's license. Because I owed them thousands of dollars.
What about like work and stuff?
Well, I first started working digging ditches because I had no truck. I had no tools. I had nothing. So I took a day labor job. And then once they figured out I had a brain, they put me working inside a mall that was doing remodeling.
Is that what, as they, you mean like there's like a prison?
The day labor place.
Oh, okay.
And I was making $5.20 an hour. This was in 2002. So I did that for about 6 months, and then I got my first student loan. Because I got out in March and started school in September.
Yeah.
Once I got my first student loan, well, I paid off my fines, bought a little beat-up car, and things, you know, you take it step by step. You know, but I had my mom, so my mom would take me to work or pick me up. So long as I wasn't using, you know, she would basically bend over backwards.
So you got out of prison, and then when you went to school, where were you going to school first?
Scottsdale Community College.
Okay.
Which is a little tiny community college in Arizona.
I can't imagine going from being in like a prison full of dudes to being like in a college in Arizona. That seemed like it would make my head explode.
Yeah, there's a thing in the book about where I talk about it. I went from guys in prison with prison builds to women at Arizona State University with fake tits and Scottsdale Community College and cell phones. Cell phones really blew my mind.
So how long had you been in prison until you got clean and went, you know, decided to go back to school?
I went to prison 5 times, probably all told about 10 years, although okay. I never added it up because there's so much county jail time involved. And
so, but it sounds like there was just a big chunk of your life that it was prison drugs. I mean, what age to what age was did that sort of take up your life?
Well, I was basically a junkie from when I was 20 till I was 42. Prison time was from when I was 28 till I was 42. So that big chunk in there, I was in and out of prison. Before that, I was a junkie, but I had it got bad enough to where I started getting locked up, to where I was stealing 3 or 4 times a day to support the habit.
And then what were classes like at college? Were you just like a curiosity for people?
Yeah, at first, you know. I mean, they called me adult reentry, which sounded like I failed at probation and they were giving me another go. I ended up getting kicked out of that community college, too, because I sent a dirty email to a girl. They kicked me out of school. And it was funny because I walked in the office. They called because I worked on campus. I had a work study job for a TV station, and they called my boss and said, "Send Parker up to see the dean of students." And I thought they were going to give me an award because I was such a good student.
Little did you know.
And I got up there, and there's a dude with a badge on his belt with the dean. So I'm thinking, oh shit, they dug up something from my past, and there's some shit to dig up, and I'm going back to jail.
Yeah.
Then they said, "We got you up here because you sent a dirty email to so-and-so." I said, "You people scared the shit out of me for that." I was so pissed.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's why I got thrown out of school, because it was mostly like, fuck you. You know,
they wanted a big kiss on the ass and an apology or something.
Yeah. They wanted me to crawl. And all they really said to the girl, "You know what? I've been locked up for a long time. I really need to get laid. It would be really nice if it was you."
That's nice.
Yeah, it seems magnanimous.
"Do you want to fuck?" Question mark.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even come right out and say it. So,
was it a situation where were they monitoring the student's email, or did she actually say?
No, she went to them. Once she found out I was an ex-con, she panicked.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You know, everything was cool up till that moment. You know, once she found out that I had all this prison time, and you probably shared needles with prostitutes. Once that came out, you know, it was all over. So she went and ratted on me, but she told him, "I don't want him to get kicked out of school." Mm. And they said, oh, we won't. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't work out.
Yeah, they kicked me out so fast.
So your
all right. Then I went to Arizona State. So it all worked out.
So your first times – yeah, this was your – was this your second times piece?
Yeah, my first one was a Modern Love piece.
Yeah, and that was about you dating a Colombian woman?
Yeah, we're still together 6 years now.
Oh, wow. And how did that come about?
Well, it came about because, like I said, women, once they found out about my past, and of course I'm the first one to blab about it, one of my teachers said, why don't you just not tell them? That never occurred to me. Yeah, I've been to prison 5 times, baby. You know? And women don't really love outlaws. That's what I found out. Unless you're just a little tiny outlaw.
You have to be like a fake outlaw.
Yeah. And so I started writing chicks, you know, in out of the country. Mm-hmm. I went out with a chick in Mexico for a couple of years. She was really sweet. And when we broke up, I started writing this girl in Colombia. And, you know, I fly down there. It's really nice. It's cool. I get out of the country for a while.
And how did you find her?
On the internet.
Just.
Yeah, it was this website called Cali Charm. Because she lives in Cali. Not, you know, Cali.
Yeah.
Cali, Colombia.
Yeah, like the Cali cartel.
Yeah, it's the same with the Mexican girl. I found her on one called Mexican Brides.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you basically talk on a phone for a while, and I speak pretty good Spanish. So we talk on the phone for a while, and then we get to know each other, do a lot of emails, send a lot of pictures, and finally I just fly down there. And the reason I started with Mexico is because I couldn't get a passport for a long time.
And you do – is it harder when you're an ex-con to get a passport?
I couldn't get a passport because when I was married, we collected welfare. So we basically committed welfare fraud and had to pay all that money back.
Oh, wow.
So until you pay the money back, you can't leave the country.
Right.
Huh.
Right. But they did a plea bargain with me. They cut it in half. I owed them about $8,000. They cut it to $4,000.
Suck on that, welfare people.
Yeah, well, it's a state. I mean, we did owe money. We did have a kid. So it's not like, you know, we didn't take the state for some money. We did.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not.
I'm sure it's the type of thing, same with credit card companies or whatever, short sales on houses. They'd rather get something back than zero.
Right, right. And it's one of those things that you can't claim bankruptcy on.
So it's with you for life, basically.
Yeah, unless you're Mitt Romney.
Well, he just puts all his debt overseas. It's so simple. Why don't you do that?
Yeah. No, they weren't going for that shit. It was the state of Connecticut.
I'll check my – I need to go to Bermuda or Jamaica or Switzerland to check at the money. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I'll be right back. Can I get a passport to do that?
I'll bring back a traveler's check or what do you prefer? Cashier's check?
So have you gotten reviews in yet?
A couple, yeah. And they seem to have the same trend as our man cow friend. They're kind of looking for some kind of religion.
Oh, weird.
I think. Huh. One of them said there's no redemptive arc at all to the story.
Oh.
Oh, that's horrible that they're trying to.
So that is, they expect a story arc that ends with some sort of very clear redemption?
Yeah. I guess. I mean,
it slows down a little in the third act. And,
I guess Two Cows Degrees and the book deal just isn't redemptive enough for them.
It's not a type of redemption they're looking for, I guess.
Plus the fact that I've been crime and drug free for 10 years. You know, none of that counts. I mean, they want some kind of. One guy said I was addicted to porn. I don't worry. They
aren't
like
we all?
This right out of his
aren't
ass.
We all?
You know, there's.
Sounds like a little bit of projection going on there.
Yeah, I mean, well, it seems to be. It's a big thing in fiction now, where the guys are slackers and they lay on the couch and jerk off all day and get high.
Uh huh.
It seems to be endearing in fiction.
But right. Why? Too bad it's not in real life, man.
Yeah, so I think he thought he was kind of paying me a compliment, but I got in trouble with my publishers.
How come?
Because I wrote him and threatened him with a lawsuit.
Oh, the reviewer, you mean?
Yeah.
Ah.
And they said, "Don't do that. Just tell us, and we'll take care of it."
Where was he from? What was the publication?
Oh, I'm not gonna say.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question. Do you think, like, are they a little bit nicer because they know that you're a felon? Like,
no,
they,
it seems to be just the opposite.
Oh, really?
Huh. Nah. They're worried that anything else will get you or them in trouble for no reason, really.
Yeah, this one guy actually said, "Oh, I'm just I use everybody in the world as my sucker, and I'm just suckering people with this book. I'm not forcing anybody to buy the damn book." You know, and I'm just using people. It's just, you know, I mean, it's really weird. The reviews are, but there's only been Publishers Weekly, Kirkus, and this one called, oh, I can't even remember the name of it. But it's like a family review thing. So what do you expect? I mean, what do you really expect?
Yeah.
They don't give you stars. They give you crucifixes.
They give you Bibles.
And for,
I got three crucifixes.
Three Bibles. Three. I gave it six dead Jesuses.
Three crucifixes for a guy who has a giant pentagram tattoo on his stomach is pretty good, you have to admit.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's, yeah.
That's redemption.
I think they're looking for a conformity or an apology to society. But what they're forgetting is I did my time.
Yeah.
Right.
Every day of it.
Yeah, so you don't owe me. You don't owe me an apology.
Yeah, I don't know the world an apology. It's not like I was, you know, robbing little old ladies. I was shoplifting, for Christ's sake. And so, and I did my time. To quote a cliche, I paid my debt to society. So get off my back.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's a disconnect probably between some of the people who are actually reviewing your book. And the reality of, you know, like you said, doing fucking 10 years in prison, like that is not, you know, that's.
Yeah. It wasn't no cakewalk.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not sure what they really want. I think they want, you know.
You know, middle class white America just gets.
Again, who have it the worst?
Yeah, right. Who have it the worst? You know. The whole idea of excessive punishment just, you know, makes them tumescent. They just get a big rubbery one for really, really punishing someone hard. You know?
Also, they want James Fry, which is like where you really exaggerate what happened to you
and weep on every other page.
No, I would think that a lot of people would expect some big apology from you to everybody. Right. Where I don't care. It's like you lived your life. You don't owe me a damn thing. But they want, oh, my God, he was so bad. You know, he was so bad he went to prison. He owes all of us some – he needs to change and improve it. And it's like, well, look what he's doing. He's not
– I think it's also a massively fundamentally wrong – or I'm sorry, I'm not saying this right. It's a massive misunderstanding of the prison system where – there's almost, I think, this perception that he's supposed to come out of this saying, wow, I really did learn my lesson over these 10 years by all these classes I took on how what I did was wrong.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, everyone was expecting this whole, like, learn your lesson thing instead of, like, hey, it's this, you know, fucking place that is this, you know,
it's
really awful. Yeah, it is fucking Thunderdome that you get thrown into. And if you're looking to actually reform people, keep fucking looking, because it's not happening in the American prison system.
No. I mean, there's this yearning for my total conformity, but total conformity is for suckers.
Right.
And plus, they're forgetting the title of the book.
Right,
the title of
right.
the book is Larceny in My Blood. Not Larceny used to be in my blood.
Yeah.
Or Larceny was in my blood and then I found Jesus.
Right. And I think that the people that want you to find Jesus, what kind of ties into that is an overarching theme is this unshakable faith that the American way is right and that the American penal system will wrong every incorrect thing unless you're black or Mexican and we'll just put you to death. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the whole narrative that they're buying into. And that's why they're expecting you to be so contrite. Right? And so I think that's where there's just this total fundamental.
It's almost like he owes them for them letting him back into society.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I think there's also, I mean, with pretty much with anything, books, movies, I feel like, as intelligent people, we always way overestimate people's ability to understand like subtext and like if you're not telling someone something overtly, they're probably not going to get it.
They're not going
to
get it.
You have to hit them over the head with a hammer, but not just once. like three or four times with the same thing.
Yeah, but they're like you write a book and in the book is like being clean for 10 years and
turning your life around
and,
completely.
And being like in college and having written a book, like all of that is like could not be more clear, but because you don't come out and say like, oh, I'm reformed because of this second bullet point, and like, well,
or I'm really sorry for fencing a bunch of copper pipe from a foreclosed yeah. home.
Right.
They're like, where's the arc? I don't understand how there was
this
like
book.
A, it was
this
just
book
like
that
some
you're
stories.
Reading right now. This book wouldn't have happened without everyone else's help.
I really could have used some denouement.
Right. Right. Well, see, the other side of the coin is what we're looking at these the reviews. We're looking at are not great reviews. Kirkus and P&W. A good review hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
The book's only been out for a couple of days, so that's what I'm hoping for. That the Times will review it, or a New Yorker, or somebody.
Yeah.
Do you have any sort of schedule in terms of going to different places to do interviews or anything like that?
No, I did a shitload of interviews. A lot of them were like through email. I'm doing one with Arizona State University right now. I did one with Columbia.
See if you can get James Franco on it. He writes no. He writes stuff for Huffington Post now.
Does he?
Yeah.
Jesus. All you got to do is have a name and a cute smile. I'll just give you anything you want.
Yeah. Well, he
found Jesus.
He interviewed some performance artist for... I forget. I think it was like Vanity Fair or something
was
like that.
The one, the artist is present. That one.
Yeah, the where her piece.
Did you watch that?
No. Yeah. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's pretty fascinating. What's her name?
It's
I can't
Marina
remember.
Something. Or
Marina
or
Abramovich.
Okay. Yeah.
Something like that. She's like the world's preeminent performance artist that I'd never heard of her. And
shocking.
Matthew, have you heard of Marina Abramovich?
No.
Crazy performance artist, like. Over her lifetime of performance art, this is the type of stuff she does. She will be naked in a room full of people and just run into a wall over and over and over. She will...
Sounds awesome.
She'll, like, just sit on her knees and whip herself on the back with, like, a cat-of-nine-tails type thing over and over and over.
It sounds like Jackass.
It really is, but with a lot more wine and cheese. And
yeah.
And ascots, basically.
But one of them yeah. was where she just sat at a table, and so, it was called The Artist is Present.
Yeah, so she did a full career retrospective at the MoMA in New York, and the whole exhibit. So there were other people performing some of her other things, like a person laying naked with a fake skeleton laying on top of them. There was to enter one room from the next, you had to walk through a man and a woman naked. And like,
I remember that one.
Yeah, so you had to go between them, and you had to touch both of them. So the performance or the artwork or whatever was deciding which way to face, the man or the woman. So then her – yeah, it's ridiculous. And then so her whole – her what she would
I like
do –
like to spin in the middle. Just wait for a second.
Everyone's a winner.
I think it's pretty obvious you aim your cock to the vagina and your butt towards the cock. I mean, then you get best of both worlds yeah. right there.
That's called
complete
a win-win.
The cycle of life.
Yeah.
So for 3 months –
You need to go through with some of that arthritis heat on your hands. Really give them a good rub.
Excuse
you know?
Me.
Yeah,
excuse
icy hot.
Me.
Yeah.
Pardon me there.
Let's see you hold still now.
So what she did was she sat in a chair, and there was a table and then another empty chair. And what people could do if they waited long enough was sit across from her in silence. And they could be a part of the exhibit, and they could sit for as long as they wanted. And people ended up – it became this big thing in New York. My brother was even there. He's like, I had no idea what was going on. But
yeah.
for this particular community of high and mighty art people – it was the thing to do.
She was the Babe Ruth of performance.
Yeah,
right?
People were flying from all over the world to sit across from her and be a part of her exhibit.
Really? And
yeah,
I
it's fucking
sat across
great.
And lit a cigarette.
And
your
arms
went off. That really freaked.
Seriously. Well, it was a documentary on HBO called The Artist is Present. I'd recommend it only because it was this whole world that I'd never even realized existed.
Well, James Franco wrote a million.
Yeah, he was in it for a second.
He wrote a million word. Profile on her, so you should
a million words.
I don't know. It was a lot. It was long.
Million.
It was longer than
He's
I wanted
still
to
doing
read.
It,
put
it,
it
goes
that
on
way.
Forever. Well, his speaking of reviews, he got really reamed for his book of short stories, which would have never got published if he wasn't who he was.
But he is who he is.
I didn't read it, but I heard him. I just heard him read once at school, and I actually liked the story that he read a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was that the one with the big matronly tits?
No.
Wasn't that him?
I don't know. I don't
he
know
had
that
he had something in the McSweeney's or something.
No, I don't know. I liked it, but anyway. Well, thanks for hanging out. You have anything else you want to cover before we let you go?
Your next book, Jesus in My
yeah.
Blood?
Yeah.
No, no. The next book's a memoir and maybe a novel.
Jesus
the
in
next
My
book's
Heart.
The original memoir, which Vince has read a lot of.
Okay, that's what's the next one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Larson in My Blood, available Amazon. Is there any particular place you want people to go or just wherever they can find it?
Wherever they can find it. They can go to Penguin website if they want to screw Amazon out of $10
yeah.
and give it to me.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Go to Penguin.
Yeah, go to Penguin's website.
Penguin but, Publishing.
Is it available in ebook form?
Yeah, but it's a graphic, so I don't know if you want to get it in ebook form.
Gotcha. What about like for the iPad with good graphics?
Yeah, it would be great for the iPad. But right now the price like on Amazon is the same. It's like a dollar more for the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's $10 for the book, $9 for the Kindle, is it called?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's the Kindle. Yeah. Because what you can do is you get the Kindle edition and then you can read it on the iPad. So I have books that have a lot of photos or maps or whatever, and then I'll read them on my iPad.
It would work on that.
Resolution.
I saw this guy out of the corner of my eye reading something on an iPad today. And like when you see someone reading something on their iPad, it just looks like they're trying to gently finger bang a computer. Like if you just see it out of the corner of their eye, like they're just like it's just like they're slowly diddling a giant phone to climax or something.
That's get it, fun. iPad.
Yeah.
And anywhere that you want people to find you on Twitter or anything like that?
Oh, they can go to my Facebook page, which is Larceny in My Blood.
All right.
All right.
That's all go. I have.
Thanks again.
Well, good luck with the rest of the interviews. Hopefully you don't have to hang out with Mancow too much more.
No. That'll never happen again, believe me.
All right.
Take care, guys.
We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Thanks. Well, thank you to Matthew Parker for coming on, talking about Larceny in His Blood. And go pick it up. Interesting story. And I think that's pretty much all we got. So...
We were doing that for like half an hour after we finished the interview, and Ben would not hit record.
So everyone, listen up.
Dude, the first six takes were way better than that.
He was to the point where he was
for a minute.
He was fake clicking. So we would not be recording.
I was trying to tire him. I was rope-a-dope. It was a rope-a-dope. So I'm going to be out next week. So that's going to be a 90-minute broadcast of them farting into the microphone.
Gird your fucking loins.
So seriously, Godspeed to everyone's ears. And Godspeed to you, gentlemen. Because,
thanks, Ben.
Where are you going?
I'm going to go to Bermuda. My company's paying for me to go to Bermuda.
Bermudes.
Bermudes.
Because you're master
what
of
kind
sales.
Of celebration you know, going down in the Bermudes?
You sell so many units. Were you the unit master?
I sold a lot of units.
How many? There were like 100 units?
Like 93 units.
That's too many units.
Can we call you from Bermuda and you could tell us about the Bermuda?
I might have Skype.
Can we call you unit?
I might have some Skype over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The timing might be weird, but, you know, because I might be in downtown Bermuda like fucking partying.
Are you going to go to Bahama and then Aruba, Jamaica?
Shut up. You shut the fuck up right now.
It's a different place.
Why would you even do that?
Those are all different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go down to the Kokomo.
That's how you start being an old man.
By the way,
no one knows what that song is anymore.
Yeah, they do.
No.
Yes,
anyone
sir.
That doesn't know where Bermuda is, just go to Google Maps and search it because it is not where you think it is.
No, it's not.
Far away.
But turns out, FYI, BTW, far.
It's right close to middle, being like the
It's like
farthest,
almost in the North Atlantic.
Right? Like well, a couple
it's like the mid-Atlantic.
It's like several, east of North Carolina.
The closest point is North Carolina, and it's several hundred miles from there or something like that. So... But set your frat calendars. This weekend, we do have our correspondent going to the Gathering of the Juggalos. Hopefully, he goes and we get some video. November, we're coming to Chicago.
What's the date on that?
Well,
November 3rd.
November 3rd, and then I think the 5th. So it's the first weekend of November. We're going to do two shows.
That's a Saturday and a Monday?
Saturday and a Monday. Set your butts.
Time it with your butt.
Time it with your butt, which is the most accurate clock in the world.
Use the hours of the night.
Butt clock.
And if you're in San Francisco, Vince, you have three comedy shows coming up.
Three. Yeah, you're right.
It's three on my Facebook invite. If you're lying to me, I am not your friend
the
anymore.
One already passed.
I mean, I'll be your real friend, but I'm not
going to be
your
passed.
I all did right. not attend.
This Saturday, the 11th, at the Purple Onion. That's going to be good.
It's a good venue.
Gerard I'll Carmichael, be there. He's a legit headliner. Don't come for me. Come for yourself, man. Come for yourself. 7:30.
Come on yourself. If
7:30 at the Purple Onion this Saturday, August 11th.
And then
also,
big
even
show.
Bigger show.
Biggest show.
Even bigger show. Film Drunk and Friends. That's the name of the show.
Because
you got friends?
I got a couple. I got one or two. That's going to be me and Joe King. And Pauly Casillas and John Dale and
Pauly Dangerously.
We might have a couple former Frotcast guests on the
really?
Bill as well. Perhaps you never know. Well, that's August 30th at Cobb's, and
that's
I will have
legit, for those of you that don't know,
Cobb's is bona fide.
Yeah, boner.
I saw Chappelle at Cobb's, so there you go.
So did I.
Yeah,
and now I'm going to see Vince Mancini.
God damn right.
God damn it.
Oh man, hey, I really hope you don't poop your pants.
I don't.
You know
do that.
You know what I hope.
I don't
he does?
Do that unless I eat bad deli Italian food.
Well, let's get him some bad deli.
You get
let's
some bad prosciutto from over there from.
There we go. You know
Molinari's.
Molinari's treated you wrong.
That's right. That's Molinari's made me sharp myself twice.
You went two back? Separate times or same sandwich?
Back? No, it was the same. It was the same bout of food poisoning.
All right,
it was more than one shard.
I think you went back.
I was sleeping and I sharded in my sleep and like. You know, like I woke myself up with a fart, but then that was a horrible wake up because it also had some poop in my. And you know, I sleep in basketball shorts, so I don't have like the underwear to contain the shart material. I almost
so it went through the holes.
Almost,
it went through the holes in the mesh.
I almost had to change the whole sheets
it's
and everything.
It's like a hammerhead shart.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a hammerhead shart. You know,
I'm just picturing a
it was
shark.
Good prosciutto.
With like a
I'll give him
shart
that.
Week.
Shark week. Shark week. Shark week on the Food Channel.
It's Shark week on the Food Channel. We got Guy Fieri at Molinari's Deli in San Francisco. He's going to buy some bad prosciutto.
Andrew Zimmern's here too.
Yeah. My favorite thing about Andrew Zimmern is how everybody seems to hate him. Like Bourdain seems like a like kind of a smarmy jackass
yeah,
at times.
Like
but like people, like you can tell the people that he's interviewing like him. Whereas Andrew Zimmern doesn't seem like a bad guy, but everybody he's in contact with seems to absolutely hate him.
All right.
On that note,
yeah. I have to pee really bad. So frogcast@gmail.com. Thanks to our guests for coming on. Larceny in My Blood is the book. His name is I can't remember because I have to pee so bad.
Larceny in My Butt.
Yes. So yes.
That's Brendan's upcoming memoir.
Yes. Frogcast@gmail.com.
How long can we drag this out?
Good night and good chance.
Larceny in My Butt.